In this series, I've been looking at the things that kind of my final words to Parkway before I retire at the end of the year, and that's fast approaching, isn't it? One of the things that's important for the body of Christ is to really care for one another, and encouragement is one of the ways that we show that care. And as we come to look at this, and we're going to kind of walk our way through the book of Acts, and if you want to follow along, you can open up to Acts, and it starts in chapter 4. But before we get into that, let's join our hearts in prayer once again. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that you give us through the Scriptures and through your Holy Spirit. And we pray for the Spirit to quicken our minds and our hearts, that we might understand and apply your word to our lives. For the sake of your glory, for the sake of your ministry, for the sake of our own faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I think about encouragement in Parkway, I think the two fit hand in hand. I think that Parkway is a very encouraging church. Peggy and I would say that the years that we've been here, we have felt encouraged again and again and again. And for that, thank you. And I think that that's part of the culture of Parkway. Paul thought it was part of the culture at the church at Thessalonica. And so he wrote to them, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." And so that's what I want to say to you. Continue doing it. Keep on keeping on. Encouraging. And as you hit this transition time, you're going to have opportunity to do that again and again. Transition times can be very uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen. We never know what's going to happen anyway, day to day. But you are going to be going through this time, maybe expecting certain things to happen, and then there's a change. And you might just need some encouragement. It's okay. So encourage one another. Build one another up. That's what we're called to do. As we think about encouragement, for me, one of the best places to look is someone who came on the scene early on when the church was first being developed. It was shortly after Pentecost. His name was Joseph, and he had a special gift from the Holy Spirit that was evident. And so the apostles surname him Barnabas, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. And they surnamed certain people back at that time to give them this new name to show the newness of life, and it tied in to that gift that they had. So here's Barnabas. He's an encourager. We can learn a lot from him. So let's take a look at this. We begin in Acts 4, verses 32 through 37. And we see that Barnabas, as he first comes on the scene, he's a man of action. That's what it means to be an encourager. He's going to respond in a way that is going to bless other people in their need. So Acts 4, beginning at verse 32. "Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was surnamed by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field which belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." That's where we first discover Barnabas. He sees a need. The heart of an encourager is to see the needs that are there and to respond. Now, I think Barnabas didn't just respond with selling property and bringing it to the apostles. I think he also responded with words of grace to the people around him, because he's already been identified as Barnabas, son of encouragement. But what we want to see here is that encouragement means action. We can see needs around us and maybe shy away from them. It's easy to do that. Sometimes because we don't want to intrude, we don't know what to say. We have a grief ministry here, meeting on Sunday afternoons, and one of the things that's very common, and each person who's been in the grief share ministry has said that they experience someone who says something that probably shouldn't have been said. And maybe it's that person just wasn't thinking, maybe they were trying to bring comfort, but it just missed the mark. So sometimes we don't say something to someone because we're afraid we're going to say the wrong thing. Encouragement means taking an action. It's learning how to say things, or maybe not to say anything. Maybe that encouragement is just coming alongside, just saying, I'm with you. If you need anything, I'm here. So that's Barnabas, this man of action, responding in a way that blesses others. But we next hear about Barnabas. It's in connection with the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul at that time was Saul, and he had just seen the risen Lord. Now, before that, Saul was going after Christians, arresting them. And Saul had been present when Stephen, a new Christian, was stoned to death, and Paul consented to that. So the Christians didn't trust Paul. They were afraid of him. And here's what we pick up in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. It says, when Paul came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But, I love the word but. Goes back, it's one of my key theological words, that you have this situation, but. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. See what Barnabas did? He stands up for Paul. He stands beside him. He's with him. He's saying, this guy is genuine. I can vouch for him. Verify what he did. And that's what encouragement means for us. Standing up for people. If there's something that needs to be clarified or corrected, it's standing beside someone until the situation resolves itself. So we're encouraged by Barnabas to stand up and stand beside others. Now, we continue with Barnabas. We hear about him again because the church was in need of spiritual encouragement. It's always in need of that. But you have the new church. The message is going out. People are, their lives are changing. And for some of them, or most of them at this time, they're Jews. And they're having to make this choice about believing in Jesus being the Messiah when others weren't, especially the synagogue leaders and the other religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And so they need encouragement. And we find with Barnabas that he had certain spiritual characteristics that were evident. So Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, which is the seat of this newfound Christian faith. This is where the apostles are. So news comes to them that these Greeks are believing in Jesus. What do? And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. So So the big question now is, why did they send Barnabas? So verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So what are these characteristics that Barnabas has? Let's take a look at these in verse 23, that there is a joy that he has in seeing the grace of God at work. That's what an encourager is. There's a spiritual dimension here. It's seeing how God is working in the lives of people, in big ways and in small ways. And he's getting excited about that. And here we have his joy, his gladness being evident. We know it's evident because it's recorded. And so an encourager is someone who is going to be rejoicing over the grace of God, how God's grace is working in people's lives. Then we see that the spiritual focus that he has, and it's exhorting others to remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast in purpose. Encouragement goes beyond the things that are important as well, of just encouraging people in their daily lives with whatever obstacles are there. Encouragement in the church needs to take on the spiritual dimension of really looking at what's going on in people's faith and encouraging that dimension. And that's what Barnabas did. So he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord, no matter what, and steadfast in purpose. What purpose? The purpose of God's will, all that God calls them to do. So he's encouraging them, that very focused thing. That's what we want to do for one another. Encourage each other in our faith, being excited to see the grace of God working in our lives. Now another characteristic is something, again, that was evident because it's recorded here. And it says that he was a good man. Now when the Bible talks about someone being good or righteous, it is not saying that they are perfect. It is not saying that this person is absolutely so good that, you know, they don't need God's grace. It is in reference to the work of God's grace in their lives. He is a good person. And out of that grace, you see this goodness. Now, what does this mean? It means they felt a genuineness about his goodness, his caring about them. Now, we all struggle at times with some of the commands in Scripture that we're to love our neighbors ourselves, love our enemies. And sometimes our hearts just don't feel that. And so we say to ourselves, you know, okay, got to do this. Lord, help me. Help me to have the right heart to do this. And we're striving for that genuineness so that we're not just doing good because we're supposed to. We're doing good because we want to and because it just flows out of what God is doing in our lives. That's Barnabas. They could look at him and see that he wasn't just caring for them. He wasn't just doing good and responding to them because he had to. He did it out of a genuine heart. So that's a characteristic of encouragement that we want to have. And it happens because the next thing it says, he was full of the Holy Spirit. There was something about his life. They just look at him and say, there's only one way to explain what's going on. The way this man talks and the way that he responds to people, it is the Spirit of God at work in his life. So he's full of the Holy Spirit. We seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we feel that we're not, then that is a sense of God saying, seek to be filled. Sometimes that sense of emptiness, it's God saying, strive, pray, seek. So we want to be full of the Holy Spirit. And then the last thing, again, observed of him was he was a man of faith. And it was clearly observed that everything that he was doing was because of his faith in Christ. So that's encouragement. It's the heart of an encourager, and then the direction, the spiritual focus of an encourager. Now this story continues immediately, and we see this proactive aspect of encouragement. It says, a large company was added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a large company of people. And here's kind of a wonderful thing. And in Antioch, the disciples were for the first time called Christians. Before, the church was just referred to as the Way. And now they're Christians. And that term catches on. But what happens with Barnabas? He looks at this need in Antioch, and he recognizes that given the fact that he's a good encourager and a teacher, he's not sufficient. But he knows who is, and he goes to Tarsus and gets Saul, Paul, brings him back, and the two of them stay there for a year. So part of this encouragement is recognizing that there's a long-term commitment to encouraging other people to build up their faith. That's where we gather as the body of Christ. We continue as these long-term commitments. And for some of you, these commitments go back a long ways. For Peggy and me, it's 19 years. For a lot of you, it's a lot more years. And for a few of you, it's not quite 19. But there's this long-term aspect of our relationship. And what needs to be a part of that at all times, we need to be encouraged, is to be encouragers. We encourage one another. We're looking at each other and saying we have this long-term commitment to one another to encourage. That's getting harder and harder in our culture, isn't it? You know, we look around the congregation here and we can see we don't have a lot of young people. Part of it is we don't have the rock and roll music that is going to attract a lot of the younger people. Part of it, though, is when we've had younger people, some of them are here for a season and then they move. And they're in Georgia and China and, I mean, it's all over the map. They move. It's what is happening in our culture is the younger people are more mobile. They move a whole lot more than what our generations were used to. We, for the most part, if we could, we planted ourselves and stayed. So even though we might have some people for a season, the encouragement that is given goes with them. And the encouragement then that they can share with others. We're connected as Christians throughout the world. So long-term in terms of a view of encouraging. So now we come a little bit later here. It says in Acts 11, verses 27 through 30, we're going to see now as an encourager and who Barnabas is, that they trust him. He's very trustworthy. It says, now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. And the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brethren who lived in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So what's going on here is that as they raised this money to be sent back to Judea for relief by food, whatever else was needed, they looked at Barnabas and at Saul and they said, we trust you completely. Part of our encouragement is our trust of one another. And so we seek to be trustworthy in all things so that our relationships are solid and we can encourage and it's effective. Now we move into Acts chapter 12. And we're going to see how Barnabas and also Paul at this point, they're together. But we're going to see how they are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Holy Spirit already, how Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. Here we're talking about being open to where the Spirit guides, really no matter what. And, you know, it's hard for us to discern what God is saying to us. It's not an easy thing. And, boy, we wish it was as clear as what we're going to read here with what happens with Barnabas and Saul. But here we pick it up in Acts chapter 12 at the very end, verse 25, and then into chapter 13. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, so they took the relief down there when they had completed their service, bringing with them, coming back to Antioch, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Now, hold on to that, Mark. That's the one who writes the Gospel of Mark, but hold on to that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Then it goes on to say, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, don't wish we could just hear the Holy Spirit saying to us, Holy Spirit said, and it was through the prophets that were there, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. As encouragers, and just as Christians, we want to be open to the Holy Spirit. How is the Holy Spirit leading us? Whether it be to do certain things or to say certain things. So, Barnabas and Saul, Paul, they're heading out, and they begin this pattern in their journeys, their missionary journeys, of first going into the synagogues and preaching to Jews. And Paul would argue from the Scriptures that it was necessary for the Christ to die and to be raised again. We have life through Him. In Acts 13, it says, and after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urge them to continue in the grace of God. So as they're open to the Holy Spirit, they're preaching, these converts are coming in, what's their spiritual focus? They're encouraging them, they're urging them to continue in the grace of God. It's the message of an encourager, continue in the grace of God. But they reach a point where there's opposition coming to them from the Jews who don't believe. And it's so strong that something is going to happen here. And we would approach something like this with caution. But it is a type of encouragement that moves into a boldness in speaking truth. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Because of this pushback that they were getting from the synagogue and the Jewish leaders that were there, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. That's now their focus of ministry, is to the Gentiles. Now, that was for them. The focus of the ministry to the Jews was still there coming out of Jerusalem, and they were sending out missionaries. It wasn't a giving up on the Jews, but Barnabas and Paul, since something was shifting here, and their encouragement reached a point where they had to speak hard words of truth. Now, we approach things like this with extreme caution. And we'd have to be really convinced, it's the Holy Spirit, I think, speaking through us, to speak the truth and to do it in a way, in a hard situation, where it might rattle someone. Because we'd be open to some criticism there. Now, later on, Paul would write to the church at Ephesus, and he would talk about speaking truth, and he would say, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So when we speak truth, it's in love. It's always with a purpose that is redemptive or encouraging, but there might have to be those times where the encouragement, as maybe softer things have been tried, where it reaches getting to the heart of the matter. But again, this is something we take on with fear and trepidation. It takes wisdom. It takes seeking the heart of God. It takes a clear view of the Holy Spirit to guide us in that. Now, there's one last thing that we look at Barnabas that is so key as an encourager. And it is that Barnabas is one who sees beyond failures and looks to the transformation that God can work in people. In Acts 15, it says this, But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Come, let us return and visit the brethren in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. So that's a good thing, teaching and encouraging, wanting to go back and do that. And Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. Okay, so Mark, who they brought back with them from Judea. But Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, we go back. It's just sort of a read between the lines. They hit a point in their missionary journey where they get a lot of pushback, and Paul is almost stoned to death. I mean, they're chasing him out. And they get back to Antioch, and Mark just sort of withdraws. And then Barnabas and Paul go on other tours. They go out and preach more. But Mark had withdrawn. We don't know why. We can try to read between the lines. It could be that he counted the cost. He looked at what happened. They got chased out of town, and he was overcome with fear. Or it could be he sensed God's call to do something else. But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn. That's the words that Luke gives as he's writing the book of Acts. So is that withdrawing? Do we put that connotation of he was shrinking back from what God would really have him do? And then something that we would say is a little bit grievous happened, but God has a way of working things out for good. It says there arose a sharp contention so that they, Paul and Barnabas, separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, and being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. So we have them splitting off and going their separate ways. See, now God can work some incredible things out. One of the things that happens is, of course, the ministry is multiplied now. Instead of one team, you got two teams going out. But there's something even deeper going on here. And it has to do with Barnabas, who he is as an encourager, how he is looking at someone. Perhaps the failure of Mark, maybe he did shrink back, he withdrew. But Barnabas saw something and said, God is not done with him. Now, keep in mind that this sharp contention that arose between Paul and Barnabas, it is Luke who is writing about this. He is, as far as we can tell, he's not with them, Luke, at this point. Luke comes on the scene a little bit later. And how does Luke know about all of this that took place, about Barnabas, who he is, and what he had done? Well, it's through Paul and the other people who journeyed with them. And Paul evidently is speaking pretty highly of Barnabas. They had their disagreement, but he still looked at Barnabas as a brother in Christ and understood his gifts and his contributions. So now we come to Paul writing a letter to the church in Colossae. And he says at the end of the letter, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Now here we have another piece of the puzzle. A related cousin. Concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, receive him. We don't know anything more. Somewhere in that time period, Mark had proven himself. And he had become a leader within the church. But also, people had heard. Maybe they had heard the accounts that Luke had written down. And they knew that Mark had withdrawn from something. And they weren't sure about him. Paul is now standing up for him. He's the one coming alongside. Standing up for Mark, standing beside him and saying, receive him. That's what happened to Paul earlier by Barnabas. And how did this take place? It's because there was a Barnabas who was there to encourage Mark, to see that God was not done with him. God continued to transform him. That's what we are for one another. We look at each other and we say, we know we're all imperfect. We make mistakes. But God is not done with us. And we need the Barnabas side of us, encouragement, to be able to encourage one another, not only so we can remain steadfast in faith, but so that we can grow and grow in leadership so that future generations here at Parkway continue to bear witness to Christ, to the grace of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement of the Scriptures that we have, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and the witness of Barnabas, and of Paul, and of Mark. And we would ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us as we desire to be encouragers, that we would be effective. And we would be filled with goodness and faith, the Holy Spirit. We pray these things to the glory of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.